The Lord opened up Ephesians 5 to me by opening up 1 Corinthians 11. It was after that he had opened 1 Corinthians 11, and I understood what he was talking about when he said a man prophesying or praying with his head covered dishonors his head, and a woman prophesying or praying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It does not sound like it has much to do with Ephesians 5 when he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That he is the head, the covering of the church, and the savior of the body. He said, so ought men love their wives. Now, being the head of the church, he means that Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father is the covering for the church. Savior is the same as provider. He's not only the covering of the church, but he is the provider, the savior of the body. Now, in this Ephesians 5, Jesus went on to say, I'm speaking about a great mystery, one of the greater mysteries in the Bible. But I'm not talking about marriage, he said. He's relating to it, but not talking about it. He said, husbands, you ought to love your wives as Christ loved the church. What he was trying to get over to you is how much Christ loves the church. It's a great mystery, he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He wants us to know him out of that position as provider. The same way a husband is supposed to cover and to provide for his wife, Jesus wanted you to understand that he loves you. There's no problems with him. He wants to provide for you. Even to the degree when he said, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies, for no man yet ever hated his own body but nourished and cherished. He said, do yourself a favor and love your wife, because to love your wife, you love yourself. But yet Jesus was speaking of the mystery of the love that Christ has for his church. What he was saying, to deny you your needs, Christ would be to deny himself. To not meet your need would be not to meet his need. To deny you would be to deny the fellowship he desires to have with you. He's trying to get a position over to us that most of us do not understand very much, because we don't know him very well. And the reason we do not know him very well, if he uses marriage as the institution to teach on the love that Christ has for the church and man has for a woman, and the divorce church, that the rate of divorce in the church, even in the church, is higher than 50%. Broken homes, single family dwellings, second, third, fourth marriages. They don't see commitment. They don't see love. They see betrayal. They see people forsaking each other. And we're trying to understand the love that Christ has for the church, majoring it, basing it on the marriage institution. This is why the two churches that was pagan, that Paul apostled, the Corinthians and the Ephesians, were both pagan churches. They had no background for the law. The first thing he had to teach the churches was one wife, commitment, family, because of paganism. So by the time he taught on the relationship that the church is supposed to have with Christ, he was able to use the marriage institution as an example that we can't today. A wrong spirit has got in. You say, no, there's not a wrong spirit in. I don't need any proof. I don't need any proof. Outside the 53% divorce rate, I don't need any more proof. In our generation's divorcing at a rate He's never divorced before. More so in the last generation. The generation before that, it's been progressive. And why? Because we're doing things right as a church? No. Not because we're doing things right. Because as the family unit, we're doing things wrong. There's a spirit that has got in. And when I talk about that spirit, man, I have dagger looks. People has left the church and said, well, I'm going to go somewhere where God will make me what I want to be. Just because some man tells you something doesn't make it so. The ostrich syndrome doesn't work. You think because you stick your head in the sand, it'll go away. The devil will come up behind you and kick you right in the behind. He loves ignorance. His power is deception. Because as long as you don't know you're deceived, you'll continue beating the air. And you'll continue down that path. Because deception is not deception. The moment you know that you've been deceived, that breaks his power. I don't need any other argument except statistics. I don't need any other argument. It's 53%. A wrong spirit has got in. And with the dope culture and emotions, they're either else nothing. You're my best buddy. I'll be faithful to the end. The next day they got a gun at your head. There is no middle line with dope. Emotions are all the way, 100,000%, or they're nothing. There is no in between. That's why it's hard to hold a job when you're messed up on dope. Amen. Much less commit to something like the family unit. And your family doesn't excel to the forefront. Your habit does. So if we're going to study the family unit to understand our relationship with Jesus, my God, we're going to have to exclude our psychiatrist case histories and go to the Word. Well, my mother did it to me. Well, not my father did it to me. Well, no, it was my mother. Well, I to the depression. Yeah, I know. I'll tell you something about Jesus. Freud was wrong. So what? You found out your mother did it. So what? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Freud was wrong. Finding out your mother did it wasn't enough. You have to stand up and face the responsibility. Folks, here's the good part. Him whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Here's the good part. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let me tell you what the devil's after. He's after divine order. He wants to breach divine order. He wants to pull the hedge down so the serpents can come through and bite you. He's after divine order. He wants the woman to wear the breeches and the man to lay down and live off of her. Destroying divine order, breaching divine order. There is no hedge that God builds with divine order was meant to be breached. And if it's breached, there's going to be consequences. It doesn't matter what you think about it. If there's a breach in a hedge, Then that serpents are going to come through it. God instituted divine order for a reason. He knew there's a maniac in this world called the devil. He's crazy. He's flat crazy. When Jesus gave the warning, as we said last Sunday, he comes not but for two. There's no other reason he comes. One reason divided into three parts. He just didn't want to stop you. He wants to destroy you off the face of the earth. He wants you to be in an unmarked grave and people will walk on it and never know you lived. You can meditate a million years, and I'll tell you right now, you'll never come up with no other reason for Satan to come. He comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And since his light has gone out, he has no other nature. He doesn't do anything else. He's not good at anything else. All he does is kills. And if you breach the hedge, weaken any area of it, then at least he will do is destroy anything you are doing. God institutes divine order for a reason. And to breach it doesn't mean that you won't carry on with your life and do what you're doing. To breach it doesn't mean that you can't fulfill a ministry to a degree. To breach it doesn't mean you can't go on in a certain level of blessing. But any time there's a breach in what God has instituted, and something is going to come in through the hole. Now, there's been a spirit against the church. And I'm talking about the church in whole. There's been a spirit against it. That spirit's to destroy the family unit. And you know as well as I do, to do that, the devil wants to divide it, break it down. He doesn't want committed parents raising the next generation of children. No. He wants to raise them. Because if he raises them, he'll get them when they're adults. Oh no, and the best way to breach the hedge and come in for your children is to let a bunch of sinners staring over a desk, beating on it with a mallet, decide where your children are going to go. How come there's not as much shouting as last week? Huh? Huh? Aren't you excited? How many know when he drops something in my spirit? How many know that I can't get away from it? Every time I slip into the spirit, I go back to it. So what's the use? Won't make you very popular. Heaven loves me. Heaven loves me. I'm popular. And it was this chapter, this 11th chapter, that opened up Ephesians 5. And I began to understand Jesus as provider. As provider. So let's look at that ugly spirit that's trying to get into the church. Paul already nailed it here. But let's look at it for a moment. Beginning with the 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Be followers of me." Now this is Paul talking. "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances," or keep the order as I handed it down to you. Because there is divine order as outlined by these ordinances as I've delivered them unto you. He says, "But I would have you know." And isn't this something how he enters into this? "But I would have you know," he says. Now, in these ordinances that he delivered, he set these things in divine order. And now he's setting them in concrete in the form of teaching. He says, "I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God." And people have hated these verses for I don't know how long. And with that spirit that's trying to get into the church, women, I could get in trouble over this. Women believe they've been handed a bad deal. They believe that they've not been handed a rightful position of authority in Christ. But that's not what he's saying here. He's setting both natural and divine order into place as far as we being created in what order and the position He's created us for. He wasn't talking about our equality in God as new creations and born again people. For we're all one. The woman is not diminished from the man, and the man is not diminished from the woman. But concerning these verses, He says something here very powerful. He said the head of Christ is God. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of the church is Christ. Now another word for head is covering. That the covering for Christ is God. And the covering for the church is Christ. And the covering for the woman is the man. And this is in order of creation. This is divine order. This is the hedge He has built up. It's not that we cannot function in God and fulfill a ministry and do things for God. But any time you breach that order, you weaken your chances of making it through this life intact with your whole family in and going to heaven. Well, He says something incredible here then. Third verse again says, I'd have you know the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. Then in the fourth verse He says, every man praying or prophesying, notice this man is being used by God, praying or prophesying. The word prophesying isn't what we've made it to be in the church today. The word prophesying here also meant when God dropped by revelation a message into a prophet or a pastor or a preacher, and he came out and by the Spirit gave that message. That was a form of prophesying. He's talking about fulfilling a ministry, praying and ministering. But He says doing so with his head covered dishonors his head. And so not understanding this, men has made their wives wear hats to churches for hundreds of years. Finally, the wives got tired of pinning a hat on, so they got down to a little scarf thing that just covered a little of their head so they could be legal. Because the next verse said, a woman prophesying or praying with her head uncovered dishonors her head. See, when God opened these verses up, what they meant, then it opened Ephesians 5 up and made me understand to the fullness, finally, how much Jesus wanted to meet my needs as provider. I can depend on Him. He's established Himself as my covering and my provider. And He wants me to fellowship with Him like a wife fellowships with her husband whom is providing for her. This is what He meant. He said a man prophesying or fulfilling his ministry with his head covered dishonors his head. Well, who covers the man? Jesus Christ. The head he's dishonoring is Christ. And reason He used words like dishonor meant this man is prophesying or praying with his head covered, which means he has laid down. And he has taken his covering from a woman. And she is out in the workplace, tearing everything up, doing what's necessary, working two or three jobs, minimum wage. And he is taking his supply from her as his covering. And it's highly dishonoring to Christ. Because it's a breach in everything he stands for. As Christ is the head covering of the church and provider of the body. Husbands, love your wives. That's why he said he dishonors Christ taking his supply when that Spirit has came in and changed the role. It breaches divine order. And it's highly dishonoring to Him.
highly. But he said, this woman, see, this is when this man lays down. I hate lazy preachers worse than lazy husbands. And I'm not talking about the hate. I'm talking about the kind Jesus, any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children means that loves them less. I love a lazy preacher less than a lazy husband. He's laid down and she's had to take that role. When the role switches, a woman prophesying or praying with her head uncovered dishonors her head now. The responsibility has fallen on her. Yet she herself has felt like that she has been slighted, that her mighty role that she was called to be has been taken away from her. So she assumes the position of authority, and because he more than likely is some kind of penny waste, she takes it away from him. Highly dishonoring to Christ. Because any breach in divine order pulls the hedge down. The serpent likes to get through. Let me show you something today. Women. Actual translation is also wives. You should be so proud of your position. You should be absolutely flattered by Jesus Christ himself that he created you in the position he created you in. You should be absolutely flattered, and the men should be honored that Jesus Christ created them in the position that they're in and gave them the added blessing to be able to provide for their wife and to take care of their family. Now, there's a wrong spirit that's gaining ground on the church in the last day. And it's not that this wrong spirit has not been in the church from the early church age. He's just gaining more ground as he finds more people to herald his cause. But I uncovered something. Boy, I uncovered something. You talk about a Pentecostal fit. When he got done with me, I thought, oh, women should be so honored, so honored. I know the hedge has been breached in the marriage unit. And divorce rate's over half. I know that. And I know it's so hard to find yourself anymore in our society. I understand that. And I know many of you are forced out just under the covering of Christ himself because you've had a lazy man lay down on you and think more of himself than you and abandon you and with your children. I understand that. And I understand you have to get out there and fight that old spirit out there every day sometime instead of doing what you want to do. I understand all of that. But it doesn't change the fact that you should bless God every day for honoring you with being born a woman. Hallelujah. But I dug something up. Made me understand how Jesus looked at it. And when I saw how Jesus looked at it, it set me so free. Because I hated to get these verses out. The devil would beat me so bad every time I would mention these verses because of how the roles have become in the modern day church. Both are career people. We have to keep up with the Joneses. And so somebody else raises our kids. Hallelujah. Are you staying with me? Do you understand how much God loves you when He does these kind of things? If you keep the hedge, you will have longevity of ministry. You'll be in full force when Jesus comes back, and you'll be in full force when you're old. If you keep His hedge up and keep divine order, and you honor everything God has taught you and keep His ordinances, you'll live a long time and you'll be strong in ministry, because your lamp will burn brighter and brighter. However, these crazy devils that are loose these days, I know, coupled together with dope and all those things, I know you can't live a godly life for your husband. And I know, husband, you cannot live a godly life for your wife. But you can live a godly life and do what's right before the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, show us, Brother Roberson. Yes, sir. Go on over to Galatians, 3rd chapter, 27th verse. Let me wind this up. Feel some miracles coming. Hallelujah, Jesus. Galatians 3. I'm back up to 26. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor what? My God, in God there's neither male nor female, for you are all what? One and equal in Christ. Isn't that interesting? It was only in divine order and in the order of what He created us for did He ask us to take the I can make it. And so the miracles are coming. Only in divine order did He ask us to take the perspective roles that we took in the order of the church and in our creation, which is male and female. And in this creation, when Peter talked about it, he said, husbands, honor your wives and love them. Dwell with them according to knowledge as being the weaker vessel. He certainly wasn't talking about in spirit, because in spirit we're equal with God, neither male nor female. What He was talking about is the outer part of the vessel, the soul and the body. Being the weaker vessel, the same, the inside of the clay pot holds as much of God and is in every way equal. It's outside of the pot that was created different. You were created for one role, we was created for another. We're built different. After you have children, you were created to nourish the children. They didn't know about bottles and things like that. Sometimes they would call a nanny in, and the nanny who had milk would feed their infant. The rich people did that. But even after you had the baby, you were created to nurture the baby, to be there with him. We didn't create you that way. God did. Well, the emotions are also different. We're made more for the front line. We're the first line of defense. We're the front line. Our emotions are created different. Before dope, men's emotions weren't so roller coasty. They were a lot more level. Whole world could fall apart. We'd look past its destruction and start rebuilding the future. But women's emotions are more spontaneous. We're even created different in our soul. We're created actually for the front line of defense. Women were created to bear the children. They were created to nurture the children. We were left free of that task because our calling was to cover and to provide for you and create a sanctuary in our home that's safe for you and the children. Yet he's teaching Christ concerning the church that he's our provider and God loves us and has provided for every one of our needs. And it's highly dishonoring to Christ when the role changes and a man lays down and takes from the supply of his wife. Now they had farms and the children and the family worked the farms together. You think he excluded the women from hard work? He didn't exclude them from hard work. That didn't mean there was a queen who filed her fingernails till noon, belched a couple of times and rolled out of bed in the afternoon, took a little trip downtown with your credit card. That's not what he's talking about. If you've ever run a household, husband hauls off to church, puts a few columns of figures together, and she juggled 18 lists with two kids crying on her hips. You come home, run off to the TV because you can't take it for 45 minutes. Hallelujah. I found something. I found something now. I can stand up and preach this just as bold. And I know many of you women are forced out to the workplace. And Christ is your covering now. When a man lays down on you, it won't be the covering. And Christ becomes your covering. I know what you have to do. He wasn't talking about you. His grace is sufficient. He'll cover you and bless you. But the woman prophesying or praying with her head uncovered, which means she took the role herself. The other one, she was forced into it. Because the man laid down. But now we have a woman asserting herself. What do you think he said? Now get to the other. What do you think he said? Let's exclude all doctrine. Let's exclude all doctrine and customs in any churches in any age. He says, take a lesson from nature. Doesn't nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? And the long hair he was talking about, or short hair, was symbolic in the early church on who was covering who. The man was in the image of God, and the woman created in the image of the man with slight alterations. So he was saying that she's not exactly like the man that was created exactly in the image of God. She's created in the image of the man. Now the man is creating the image of God. So he said, chop his hair off and let the woman wear her hair long. And that in the Corinthian church, because the temple prostitutes braided their hair, braided it, and shaved their heads. And because they did that, he said, you don't want to appear as a temple prostitute. You'll appear to all as you're either shaven or broad or braided, he said. So all he was saying on long hair is for men, it'll be a sign that they're in the image of God, and women, that they're in the image of the men, are covered by the men, because it is the order that he talked about. But he says, if there's any contention, anybody wants to get mad about it? You know, I really don't have a right to tell you to cut your hair. Because if you came back with contention, and he says, we have no such customs, neither does the church. But he says, throwing all customs aside, let's just take a lesson from nature. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. Now that shame wasn't making reference to his hair, but rather was making reference to being covered by his wife. So he said, take a lesson from nature. This is what he was talking about. Now I was jogging on that nature trail. I was jogging along, minded my own business, you know. And I looked over in a thicket, and there stood Bambi. Bambi. I thought, I'm about to take a lesson from nature. And a little Bambi reared up on his hind hoofs, and he took his split hooves on the front, started going like this at me. And I said, what's wrong? And he went like this. And I noticed my hair was bouncing off my shoulders. He went, and I said, what? What? He said, your hair. I said, oh, this must be what that verse means. 1 Corinthians 11. It's a shame. Doesn't nature itself teach you? It's a shame for a man to have long hair. I said, no? Oh. Then what he was saying, take a lesson from nature. Does the animals change the roles that they were created for? No. The black widow still eats her husband. Take a lesson from nature. Do they change roles? No. And when one of them starts acting funny, a wrong spirit is getting in and wants to breach the ordinances that Paul laid out in divine order for ministry, for ministry, for ministry. What did he show you? He says there's neither male nor female. It's just the outside of the clay pot that's different. Neither male nor female. He said, but we're all one in the Spirit. There is no less of equality in Christ in the Spirit. And the woman can hold just as much power as the man. Well, our history is dotted with women who have shook the world up. As many men as has shook the world up. They were unstoppable as they answered the call that God laid out for them. Unstoppable. The woman can hold as much of God as the man and is called to do everything the man is called to do in the Spirit. Work miracles, raise the dead, preach, teach, prophesy. We're all equal in God. It's only the role that He created us for does He ask us to fulfill, to shore the hedge up and make sure Satan doesn't get in and destroy everything. Now, what kind of attitude should I have? Well, it said that Jesus, though He was in the form of God, He was much God as God. He was co-equal with the Father. That He considered it not robbery to be found in the form of a man and become a servant, even though He was equal with God, yet He considered it not robbery to take the form of a man and become a servant, even though He was equal in every way with God. And a woman who is equal in every way in the Spirit with a man should not consider it robbery to be created as who she is and to be covered in divine order by her husband. Jesus, and He became a servant and humbled Himself to death, unto death. And even though He knew that He was as much the second part of the Godhead as the mighty Jehovah, yet He didn't consider Himself robbed because He became a servant. And as the high priest of the church in His glorified humanity, He covers the church. And then in His humanity,
as the head of the church, he subjected himself under God as his head in divine order. And he considers it not robbery, even though he's equal with God himself, to be covered by the mighty Jehovah in his glorified priesthood of the church. No more than a woman should not consider it robbery to be created who she is and covered by her husband. Well, that freed me. That freed me. So that spirit comes in.
You're being robbed. What are you? A domestic slave?
You're being cheated of your chance to make your mark in the world. You domestic slave. You Kirby vacuum cleaner jockey.
Barefoot and pregnant, that's how I'll keep her, I tell you.
If Jesus did not consider it robbery to take his position as glorified humanity and have him say, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The covering of Christ is God. The covering of the church is Christ. The provider for the family is the man. He says, but keep these ordinances as I delivered them. You won't find God lessening your anointing by giving you the life that you're supposed to give to your children. He won't lessen it. You repair breaches and he strengthens it. Your life doesn't become less prosperous. It becomes more prosperous. Does God have a call for you? He does. Does he have something out there for you to do? He does. And when you establish divine order, God will send everything that's necessary for both of you to lead the most fulfilling lives that could ever be led. But you can't let that other spirit get in and change your roles. It will not work. God cannot bless a man that's being supported by his wife. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. So this makes me know how much he wants to cover me, the church. Makes me know how much he wants to be my provider. Makes me know what kind of fellowship I know that he wants me to enter into with him. I don't have any lack. I have a provider. I don't have any needs. I have a provider. And as far as I know, the next time that we meet together over our provider, we're going to establish again how to enter into his presence and fellowship with him as your provider that will free him to meet every single one of your needs. For he is your covering. He is the head of the church. Stand up.